it's typically about 2% of the resumes that that come in are the folks that we hire.
Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast focused on blending research and practical advice to help today's HR, talent, and learning leaders improve business outcomes. Let's welcome your host, Ben Eubanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We're Only Human. This is Ben Eubanks, your host, and I'm so glad to have you here today. Man, I'm gearing up for a busy fall travel conference season. Episodes have been slower to come out lately because of finishing up Disrupt HR, actually. Last week, finished it up, actually. Been a very busy summer getting ready for it. But last week, we actually held the event. 150-plus people here at the Disrupt HR event in Huntsville, Alabama. And it was tons of fun. 14 speakers, lots of great, interesting topics. Some people you'd never see at a normal HR conference, which was, I consider, a badge of success. And we've had a great feedback and comments from the attendees, too. So it was a lot of fun. We're looking forward to the next event already, talking about that with my co-organizer, Christina Minyard, who you've probably heard here on the podcast a couple times, talking about different things. And so anyway, if you're hearing this out there in podcast land, I want to say thank you to those people that touched base with me there in person that listen to the show. It's great to meet people that enjoy We're Only Human, and if I ever see you out and about, you ever see me out and about, be sure to grab me. Let me know. I can't see you listening, but if you're out there and you enjoy what you're hearing, just say so. It's always nice to hear from people in real life. It's kind of surreal, interesting, fun, all those kind of adjectives. As well, if you ever have ideas for the show, ideas for guests, ideas for things like that that you'd love for me to cover, things you're curious about, interested in, and want me to find someone that can cover that topic really well, reach out for that as well. I'm going to be all over this fall. I'll be in Toronto, Atlanta, San Francisco, Las Vegas, and so on. If you're there somewhere, you want to touch base with me, feel free to connect. Feel free to reach out. lhra.io/podcast. That's my Lighthouse Research website. lhra.io/podcast will take you to a page where you can reach out to me, talk about the podcast, see some other details, things like that. So I am incredibly pumped for today's call. Did I mention I'm pumped? Because I am pumped. Years ago, I wrote an ebook called Rock Your Corporate Culture. It still is out there on the website. It still sells occasionally, and I don't really push it very much. But the reason I wrote it is because I really want to talk about real culture. It's always been a fascination of mine. It really matters. You know, research shows that firms with a strong, well-defined culture outperform others by a large margin. One study showed that there's a 4x revenue growth, nearly 10x the job growth, and more than 10x stock price increase for companies that have a strong and well-defined culture that actually increases their performance versus their peers. So culture matters. It's one of those things, again, that I love talking about. When I was an HR leader, it was one of the things that I was focused on. I went as far as writing an actual guide for our new employees and our current employees to kind of codify what our culture was, what it meant, and again, for those new people to kind of get them an idea on what those important points were, how to live out the values, things like that. And it's actually still out there today. All these years later, they're still using that as a tool for branding and for reaching their employees because it was such a clear definition of why the company was successful to that point and still is today. So anyway, culture matters, right? I've hammered that one pretty hard. So why not have someone talk about culture from one of the companies that really have this thing down? Today's episode, I actually interview Colette Williamson. She's heads up the leadership development practice over at Southwest Airlines. This has really been like a dream come true to be able to interview her because I love Southwest. I followed them from afar for a long time. I saw her speak at an event and immediately reached out and asked if she'd be willing to come and share with each of you some of the culture things that make Southwest unique and interesting. And you'll hear some stories and other stuff today. It was just a fun conversation. I enjoyed it. And I wish it could have gone on for twice as long because we could have just kept digging into fun things. I told Colette before the call, actually, that I sometimes drive twice as far to go to a different airport that's not the one close to me, just so I can fly Southwest on occasion. So I love the opportunity. If you've never flown, you'll hear some of the stories today from me and from Colette about what makes the company special. So on with the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show today. So when we think about workplace culture and how it ties to business performance, one of the companies that's always listed among the very best is Southwest Airlines, Right. I've always been curious about what goes on under the hood. And today we'll get some insight into that because I have Colette Williamson here with us from Southwest. Colette, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Ben. It's my pleasure.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about what you do, who you are, who Colette is. We'd love to know more about you.
Okay. Well, Colette Williamson, and I work for Southwest Airlines University. We have about 320 folks at the university, and my role supports the leadership and employee training. I'm the manager of that group, and we support the leadership leadership training as well as all of the professional development training for all 60,000 employees.
Golly, not a big job at all. I bet you're you have nothing on your mind right now other than having a conversation
nothing
with us.
Nothing at all. That's right. Well, it's a pretty awesome calling, and that's what I use. I use that term calling because it truly is an honor. I'm excited to come to work every day, and that's what really jazzes me.
Oh goodness! Well, I would imagine so, right? I mentioned the culture. We'll talk a lot about that today, but you have to know that someone that's there working in that sort of capacity that there's more expected of you, right? You're a little bit more front and center than just, again, I don't want to say the average employee, right? They're still in front of a lot of people in the public, but you are there kind of tasked with making sure that people get it and understand the way things work and everything else. So it's more than just your average role, I would guess.
Well, I'm tasked with the professional development. There's a lot of folks in the university that are tasked with different pieces. And we all have different roles, and every piece is important.
Yes,
the technical,
absolutely.
Functional, the technical, obviously the technical functional, if you don't know what you're doing in your role, that's not going to work. So we all work together to bring it together. But really, I focus on the leadership training and employee training.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So Southwest is known, again, around the world, and if anyone's ever flown Southwest, and I'm sad if you haven't because you don't have a good story to tell, but everybody that's ever flown pretty much has a story to tell about an experience or something else, and I'll try to throw one of those in there when we have a answer one of the questions because I'd love telling the stories. But you're known for the culture, right? It's just this really amazing thing that sets it apart. Where's the culture come from at Southwest?
It really comes from the people. And when we do our hiring, we really hire people that are already Southwest. That it's always much easier to hire someone that has that drive, that Southwest attitude, and we can always train for the skill. But that attitude is much easier to hire for than the skill. Obviously, we want highly skilled folks that when we hire. But making sure that they have that attitude is really important. And so we have our hiring percentage is at about 2%, and wow. With the amount of resumes that come in every year, it's typically about 2% of the resumes that come in are the folks that we hire.
Wow.
So it's pretty rigorous.
Absolutely. Well, goodness, again, I didn't mean to make it sound like your role is more special than anybody else, but I'm thinking like the variety of, again, technical positions, the manual work, like the amount of things that are required to get a plane up in the air, you know, packed and up in the air and everything else. Like there's so many different types of roles and everything else. And to think that 2% of the people that are interested in working for Southwest actually get in, that's really intriguing. So for some companies, for a lot of companies, let's be honest, culture is a bunch of aspirations or a bunch of words. But for Southwest, it seems like it's an actual set of behaviors and things, right? The way they act. What do you think is the difference?
Well, I think, again, we are empowered to do things. And we really ensure that when we hire these employees, we allow them to be themselves. And being yourself and wanting to give, that's really what it boils down to. We make sure that we take care of our employees. As you know, for many, many years, many, many companies have said that, you know, the customer is always right, customer is always right. Well, we have always had the philosophy that the employee comes first. And when we treat our employees right and when we empower our employees, they're in turn going to treat our customers right. So we really do take care of our employees, who then in turn take care of our customers. And so it really is a win-win situation.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of kind of taking care of the employees, I saw you speak last year and was really excited and motivated and all those things because you shared some neat stories about the different practices and the unique things that Southwest does to really drive engagement, to drive commitment from their employees. Could you walk us through a couple of those to give us an idea of what you're doing behind the scenes?
Sure. Well, one story comes to mind where a woman had was a Rapid Rewards member, and she was an A-lister, had been for years, but she had contracted cancer, and was not able to travel, and so she was going to lose her status. And so she reached out to a customer relations representative, and this representative left her a voicemail, and the thing that really impacted her was we'll take care of all of your flights, but the important thing is get better. Well, unbeknownst to her, he had reached out to his leader and said, hey, I'd really like to do something for her. And so his leader empowered him to do something. So the company actually reached out to her, and under the guise of doing a commercial, they were interviewing her. And he showed up and he presented her with her A-list status. And it was very, very moving for her. It really impacted her for life. And doing that simple act of knowing that that representative had that ability to reach out to his leader and say, hey, I know this is outside of the norm, but I'd really like to do this for her. And that really made an impact on this woman, and it really allowed her to do what she needed to do. And but she always just focused on the what's really important is just get better.
Yeah, and absolutely.
That's a great story we like to share.
Oh, I love that one because it's not just about, again, you said the ability of the employee, they were empowered by their leader, but that employee didn't just think, oh, this is a sad story, okay, on to the next call. It was, let's take a step and do something. Let's actually try to offer some sort of peace or some sort of help in this instance, in this circumstance, because they had that attitude, right? They had that way of thinking that was, let's do something about this versus let's just get this call done, you know, close it as quickly as I can, keep my call average down, and then move on to the next one. It was a different sort of conversation than it might be at some other company.
Right. Another one I'd like to share, and I don't know if you've heard this, if I shared this one with you when I spoke, but this one really hit home to me. There was a woman traveling with her elderly mother that had been diagnosed, that had dementia. And they had landed, and the elderly mother didn't want to get out of her seat and didn't want to leave. And she was very upset. And a flight attendant sat in the seat in front of her and kind of on his knees and started chatting with this elderly mother, and then just said, would you like to dance? Hmm. And so the two of them danced off the plane.
Wow.
Yes, and that really hit home to me because my father has just been diagnosed with dementia. And I thought, you know, what a simple, it was such a simple, beautiful thing. And they simply danced off the plane. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, and it didn't cost anything, but he just, this flight attendant just thought, how can I do this? How can it be a beautiful experience for her? And he thought of that, and she got off the plane.
What I love is that this has become like legendary. And at the time it was probably like, let's come up with the easiest solution we can think of, right? We care about this woman and these passengers, these customers, let's take care of them. But it was just, let's try to solve the problem at hand. And he never had any clue that, you know, probably years later now, that this was still going to be a thing. And I've always called them kind of like legends, those people that embody your culture in a way so much so that you can't wait to tell others about that story to help them kind of get it. They understand when you say the Southwest culture, you have to tell a story so people understand like, oh, that's what you mean by that. It's not just about doing this or doing that. It's going above and beyond anything else that someone would expect of me, really.
Right. Well, they really hit a good point. We have three values a fun-loving attitude, a servant's heart, and a warrior spirit. And really, we look for things in our employees that embody those three values. And whatever we do, we want to make sure that we're working our hardest as far as our servant, warrior spirit. Servant's heart is really using that golden rule and applying that golden rule. And then, of course, fun-loving attitude. We have fun. We celebrate and we work really hard and we play really hard.
I was going to say, so I'll share the quick story. It's not nearly as touching and heartwarming as the others, but it still makes me laugh, and I share it every chance I get. A couple years ago, when the government was kind of doing its shutdown thing, if you remember mm-hmm. that, they had some budget cuts and things. I was flying out to Las Vegas for a conference, and the pilot came over the intercom and said, "Hey, I'm really sorry to inform you that if the government wasn't shut down, you could look out your left window right now and see the Grand Canyon and hear, you could see this and this and that. But I'm sorry, because the government shut down, you can't look out your window today and see that." And we're just everybody's laughing and loving it, right? Everybody in the back is just roaring because it's so funny and one of those things that just makes you appreciate the little things in life. This isn't some robot up there that's just, mechanically flying a plane, but it's a human who is looking for a chance to help us have some fun, help us to enjoy this thing, because flying is not always a fun experience, but it usually gets to some degree of fun when you're hanging out with Southwest.
Right.
Goodness, I love that one. So let's talk about your role a little bit, because I'm curious, you're in charge of developing leaders and things like that. And what sort of measures of success really matter to you in your role?
Well, we really are focused on our employees and our leaders. And so we start, regardless of whether you are hired as a leader or if you are hired, whether you're promoted within. We do have classes to support either track. And we really ensure that we're looking at making sure that when you are hired or when you are promoted or whether you're hired as a leader, that within a certain amount of time, we want them to take various classes so that we really make sure that they are armed with the necessary tools. They have the necessary tool set, mindset and skill set to do their job and to support their employees. We have everything from compliance classes to fundamentals classes. We have most of these are instructor-led. Some are facilitated here in Dallas, while some we take to the field to make it easier for our leaders that are, of course, throughout the country. As far as measuring success, we really want to take a look at what the gaps are, and are we hitting those gaps? Are we ensuring that those gaps are closed? Every quarter we have a survey, and we take a look at those survey results, and we say, hey, are we really hitting the mark? And so when we feel like there's some gaps, we take a look at our curriculum and we make adjustments, and we ensure that that those gaps are being closed. We currently are taking a look at our whole leadership program and really taking a look at what's working really well and what can we improve on. So we're continually in a state of improvement. We are never static.
Mm. Well, that's good to hear, because the things that leaders need today might not necessarily be the things that they needed 2 years ago. And so staying up on those things and making sure you're aware of those gaps and issues, I'd say that's one of those things that, again, has helped you to stay at the forefront in terms of a culture and developing great leaders, is because it's not this thing we put it in place and then we kind of forget it. And maybe we'll come back in a few years and decide to revisit the program at some point. But because it's this continuous focus, because there's always a look at not just hiring in leaders and developing them, but also growing people up, I think that's really a positive approach for sure.
Right.
All right. So I need you to give some advice, if you don't mind. You're sitting here, we're doing the fireside chat with, a couple thousand of your closest friends in HR and leadership development and training and all those different fields. What sort of advice would you give those people if they said, hey, Colette, I'm really looking for some help. We need to improve our culture. We need to create a better experience for our employees. What sort of advice would you give them to improve their results?
I would say listen to the people, listen to the employees, really be genuine, and see what they say, see what they need. How can you support your employees? How can you empower your employees? Really, because when you take care of your employees, that truly will take care of the customers. And ultimately, we're businesses, and we want to have a successful business. And so, of course, you want to keep your customers happy, and you want to have returning customers. But the best way to do that is really to take care of your employees. What does the employee experience look like? How are they onboarded? How are they? What does the pre-board look like? How are they coming on to the new hire experience? What does that look like? What does it look like a year after their hiring? What does it look like to these long-term employees? What do you do for them that motivates them so that they want to continue to come to work? Makes coming to work a great experience as opposed to a drudgery. Asking your employees, I think really keying into your employees and creating focus groups, really finding out what makes them tick and what can we do to empower them.
Goodness, I guess it shouldn't surprise me that your answer revolved all around the employees themselves, right? I think that's the resounding sort of theme throughout the conversation is they should be the first in the front of our thoughts when we're thinking about how to run a business. They should also be at the front of our thoughts when we're thinking about how to improve the experience we're delivering for them and also for our customers, right? They're at the front lines. They're seeing things that we don't see maybe from our own positions, our own perches and leadership. And so I think making sure that they were capturing their voices, their insights, that's definitely the way to go if we're going to make sure we're on top of those issues, those challenges, those problems as they crop up.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yep. Cool. Well, goodness, this has been short but sweet and a lot of fun for me. Anything else you want to share before we wrap this up? Any stories, anything else, any other tips before we wrap this up and give someone a way to reach out to Southwest or you to find out more?
Well, you know, I even take a look at my own story. I was hired, supposed to be hired on my start date was supposed to be January 3rd, 2011. And in the middle of December, I got a call from Southwest that says, hey, Colette, would you like to start on December 31st? And I was so excited to start. I thought, well, that's really an odd date to start, New Year's Eve. But sure, I would love to start. What time do I come into work on New Year's Eve? And they said, oh, no, we don't want you to come in. We just want that to be your start date. You can actually come in on January 3rd. And the reason they did that for me is because of all of the benefits of starting at the end of the year as opposed to the beginning of the year. Mm. And that really made a huge difference in my life because I didn't ask for it. They came to me. And so I knew that they were, before I even stepped in the door, that they were employee-centric. They were taking care of me, and I didn't ask for it. They came to me, and it was so beneficial to me that that's really impacted me my whole career. And I always share that story because that's what Southwest is. They're always looking at ways to take care of us.
Right. And again, it's one of those things where it's not even this isn't a radical change. Three or four days isn't a radical change. It's not going to revolutionize everything. But for you and your world and your work life with them, that's a big change for you. But for the company, it's the difference of a few digits in a date, pretty much. And yeah. That's pretty interesting. I love that. That's a great story for us to wrap up with, I think, because it's a good reminder that it doesn't take some major, huge challenge for everybody else listening in. It doesn't take something, you know, you don't have to offer 50 new benefits or whatever else. Find some small way for one person and then for another person and then for another person. Keep just making a difference for each of those people every time you have an opportunity, and it's going to resonate. It's going to show. It's going to create the kind of culture that you're really, really looking for. Excellent.
Right.
This has been awesome. So if someone wants to learn more about what you're up to, what the team at Southwest is up to, what's the best way for them to find out more?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn. They can reach out to me, Colette Williamson. You know, we're always in the, you know, we're always, you know, you can always watch our commercials. We could all, you know, could always see what we're up to there. We've always got some fun, innovative commercials. But yeah, I'm, you know, I absolutely, they can reach out to me, Colette Williams at LinkedIn.
Excellent. Excellent. Good deal. And next time you're on a Southwest flight, just tell them Colette sent you. I'm sure that'll work out great. That'll work out great.
That's right. Goodness.
Colette, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
You are so welcome. It's my pleasure.
Awesome.
Take care.
To everyone else listening in, thank you again for joining me for another episode of We're Only Human. This has been Eubanks, and I will catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to We're Only Human. Please take a moment to share this episode with another HR leader who might see it as a valuable resource in their daily work. For more information about the podcast and to see all our show archives, please visit upstarthr.com.